Some leading Democrats say they want provisions in the rescue plan that would limit pay for executives of the troubled companies in need of the bailout. Those multi-million dollar golden parachutes are already infuriating to many Americans. You can understand why some in Congress don't want their constituents to fork up some of those bills. The problem is not unique to America. Brian Cheffins is the S.J. Berwin Professor of Corporate Law at Cambridge University. Professor Cheffins, do CEOs in countries other than the U.S. benefit from the same kind of very large compensation packages and severance packages that we hear about here in the U.S.?
The pay packages aren't as large, and correspondingly, the severance packages aren't as large either. But the topic is one of great controversy, nevertheless.
I mean, is there something in the United States which leads to particularly large packages for CEOs?
Well, it all comes down to the fact that their executive pay contracts are much more lucrative than those of their counterparts elsewhere, because the way these things work is that what executives are paid when they're dismissed is that unless they're fired for cause, which basically means that they're going to have to have committed a criminal offense or something similarly egregious, then what's happening is the company is breaching their contract, and correspondingly, they're entitled to sue for damages. The negotiations, therefore, lead to the severance packages. And American executives are paid more, so when they're fired, they get more generous severance packages than elsewhere. But again, they are controversial elsewhere.
Right. I mean, you say it's a big concern worldwide. How big does the fat cat issue play in the public imaginations of other countries? I mean, how does it kind of manifest itself as an issue that gets raised?
It can manifest itself in a variety of ways. Let me just use the example of France. In 2006, the co-chief executive of the company that runs Airbus was fired and received a severance package of $11 million, which is much smaller than the U.S. But nevertheless, Nicolas Sarkozy, as part of his presidential election campaign, stressed that he wanted to introduce legislation that would put a cap on how much French executives were paid when they're fired. And to put that in perspective, when Robert Nardelli was fired from Home Depot, he received a payoff of $210 million. Mm. And when the chief executive of Pfizer, Hank McKinnell, was fired a few years ago, he received $200 million. So in comparison, the $11 million that the executive of Airbus was paid was paltry, but nevertheless became a huge political issue.
So if Nicolas Sarkozy wanted to put a cap on what CEOs can walk away with from their companies, are there different kinds of regulatory systems in place in other countries which can limit the amount of money that CEOs receive?
Those are very rare because in order to try and put a cap, what you have to do is interfere directly with the contractual relations between companies and their executives. The way things tend to work, and this has been the case in Britain over the past number of years, is that pressure is brought to bear on companies to make sure that the contracts the executives enter into are of a very short duration. If they do that, it reduces the damages that an executive is theoretically entitled to when he's fired. So it used to be standard in the United Kingdom for executives to have 2 or 3 year contracts. Now they don't have contracts of longer than a year. But this hasn't been through formal legislation, but rather through less rigorous regulatory approaches.
Do you think that investors overseas and foreign finance ministers will be paying attention to whether the bailout here includes provisions to limit CEO compensation packages?
I think they would pay attention to it, certainly if there was serious concerns about such bailouts having to occur in other countries. There hasn't been too much talk of that. That said, Northern Rock, a British bank which specialized in mortgage lending, they were nationalized by the British government a few months ago. And there, the chief executive received a package of about $1.5 million. And this was quite controversial in Britain. So I anticipate if there were other nationalization targets among financial services firms, yes, I do think it would be of interest how things play out in the United States.
Professor Brian Cheffins, an expert in corporate law and corporate governance, speaking with us from Cambridge University in England. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure talking to you.